Our next is Marion Call. I'm sure many of you are familiar with Marion. She's made herself quite known around town as a really amazing singer-songwriter. When James and I were first in town, our very first Saturday night, I think, we were trying to figure out what a person does on Saturday night in Anchorage. And we went to the city market, and there we saw a picture of Marion with this scarf wrapped around her face and this very sort of fetching picture, and I said, I want to go see her, and we went to the Taproot, and there was Marion, and she introduced us to the world of singer-songwriting going out in town, and we actually sat at a table. There was not an open seat in the entire Taproot, and somebody named Joey scooted over and invited us to sit down, and that sort of began our social life in Anchorage. We became friends with Joey and his wife and many of their friends, and so I sort of trace all of that back to a very pretty picture of you, Marion. Anyway, here she is.
There's no pressure. I was asked to talk about a road trip, and I think it's no surprise why I like to drive. I like to travel. My goal is to spend every year a little bit more time here in Anchorage, but I'm still out more than I'm in this year. I'm hoping just a hair over 6 months. And last year I logged about 40,000 miles driving, and the year before about 30,000. And I usually drive with someone, but most of that was mine. So I'll be back home maybe Thanksgiving after my next trip, and my leg will be permanently stuck in this position. So. But I was trying to remember where I started road tripping, and I guess my first road trip was long before I could remember, but photographic evidence suggests that I was much too small for my car seat still, because my family was a road tripping family. We would, every year, 2-3 times a year, we would get up really, really early and we would go to California all in one day. I grew up in Gig Harbor, Washington, gorgeous place, used to be rural once, not anymore. But we would, every Christmas, every summer, and often in between, we would wake up early and go to California from the time I was itty. And because everything good was in California when we were little kids, it was Grandma and Christmas and the San Diego Zoo and Disneyland and the ocean. We didn't realize there was an ocean in Washington, I don't think, until we got a lot older. But this so predominated my family's mentality that my little sister, my parents rather accidentally neglected her geographical education, and of course the public schools did too, and so my parents came home and announced one day when she was a freshman in high school, guess what, we refinanced the house and we are all going to Europe. And my sister said, is that in California? But at some point, I don't think I ever understood that I was capable of driving, and there was a very simple reason. That is that boys drive cars, and girls don't drive cars. And I don't know where I got this idea. It probably wasn't from my parents, but I did know that if there was a boy in the car, he was supposed to be driving, not me. This was just something that was as sure as sure as sure, and I had a boyfriend from the time I was 15, and so the passenger seat was always my domain, and I'd like change the CDs. I was totally good with the radio. I am such a great shotgun. But I never, in fact, all my friends were celebrating their 16th birthdays with cheers and hallelujahs, and here I totally forgot to get my driver's license until well after I was 17, because I didn't have a car. I wasn't gonna get a car. I didn't want a car, and I had boys to drive me everywhere I wanted to go. My boyfriend, my father, my husband, and my other friends from school. And I've had a car briefly in college, I think, but I took it to get groceries once in a while, and actually usually we took my roommates because I presumed she was a better driver than me. Actually, I was pretty sure everyone was a better driver than me. Because these huge hunks of metal are frankly terrifying, and they just come flying at you, and there's nothing you can do about the person in the other car. You have no control over their car, at least I don't. And this has scared me to death since I was little. I remember even road tripping on the highway, heading south to California. I'd be looking out the window, and I was so confused at why the other cars didn't hit us. And I was pretty sure that this one didn't, but the next one's going to, for sure. And I would panic. Every car that approached, I would panic. And then, of course, comes that inevitable day, or it should be inevitable by law in the life of every teenager, and I totaled a car. And encountered my own mortality like you do. You know, I was in South Dakota, long straight highway, speed limits 80, and some kid who was even younger than me decided to turn left across the median in the middle of nowhere without signaling from the left lane of the freeway. This was a good idea. So I hit him. I ruined my best friend's car. This just reinforced to me that I was probably the worst driver in the world and should not be allowed near vehicles. I actually stayed with that same boyfriend and wound up marrying him and moving up here. And still, I sold the car I had in college. I had almost never used it. I think maybe I put 2,000 miles on it. And actually, even when I drove it up to Alaska, my friend drove it, my husband drove it. I never drove it, and we just got rid of it eventually. My husband loved cars. He had several, every kind of different bizarre vehicle imaginable. And I just never got one again. I would walk, or he would drive. And occasionally, I would borrow the car and white-knuckle down the streets of Anchorage. Oh, my God. Tudor in Minnesota. You know, I just... So, and it was only actually in 2007 that I took my first big solo drive. For some reason or other, I wound up in Seattle, and I had to go by myself down to my best friend's a wedding or a party the year after her wedding, can't recall. And I had to go by myself with no one else all the way to Portland. It was like almost 3 hours. Well, five in traffic, but... I planned for this trip like you would for the Alcan. I had a map, and I checked like Google Maps and MapQuest just to make sure that neither of them had mixed up the one-way streets when I arrived. And I planned out my coffee stops along the way, like every hour. I was so afraid I was going to lose focus and run into something. I just thought, how is it possible to pay attention to anything for that long, especially for me? And the funny thing about that trip is that... I arrived, and nothing happened. So it's not really my road trip story. My road trip story is that sometimes you get in a car in one city, and you drive, and then you arrive in another city, and you don't total your best friend's car halfway through, and you don't need a voyeur to drive you, and you get there, and you're in one piece. You go, how is this possible? To me, this was kind of a miracle. For all the miles I had logged in the passenger seat, all over the country, didn't care, anywhere I was happy to go, but I never thought that I could do it. And I don't think, actually, that it's a coincidence that this was the year that I started figuring out who I was. A little bit after that, I took my first trip to Seattle to record, and I wound up driving around the Seattle area a whole bunch by myself in places that used to terrify me. Then I went to L.A. I wound up driving in L.A. after flying all night with no sleep in a rental car, first time on the L.A. freeway. You should have seen me. It was hysterical. I think I was probably going 40 miles an hour on the freeway. But I survived it. I logged 1,000 miles on a car in 1 week for my first time ever. And it's probably also no surprise that that's about the time that my marriage started to unravel. Not because my husband would have ever placed a limitation on me. He never did. He was a very good guy. And he was all in favor of my freedom. But I think that until you feel the kind of freedom that only you can own yourself, you don't quite know who you are or what you are capable of. And the car is such a funny thing. It's tied up in the American mythos of freedom and power. And I mean that both in the positive and the negative senses of that word. We could smother ourselves in freedom and power. We're likely to, but there's also something about it that liberates you when you realize that you can actually go to bed, wake up, and go to the other end of the earth if you wanted to, that you're capable of that. And so now that's what I do. Every morning I wake up most of the year, and I get up. I drive 300 to 500 miles, and when I arrive, I stand up and I sing my little song for some people and I pass the hat and then I go to sleep and I wake up and I do it again. And when I arrive, I'm always amused to find that there are people who said, oh, it's such a pity that you weren't able to play on the other side of town because I can't drive all the way down there to see you. And I just think, that's a barrier, but that's a barrier I understand because it used to be my barrier. And now I don't have it anymore. And I don't wish for us all to become car-mongering, power-hungry people, but at the same time, I do wish for that barrier to be lifted for almost each and every person, the belief that they can go anywhere.